Fremont Sports Talk Show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I tell you, sometimes you think you know, at least you think you have a hold on things, and it goes a completely different direction. We will explain when it comes to the dogs and some rumors that are out there on the street. I don't start them. I just talk about them once they're out. We are Dukes and Bell, guys. Follow us on all social media platforms. The radio station, like the station on Facebook if you've not done so. Instagram, you can follow us as well. And obviously Twitter, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Now, for those of you who missed our interview with Bruce Feldman earlier in the show, we'll let you hear that a little bit later on as he talked about some of the things we are going to mention here coming up in our dog report. But Alex Anthopoulos is on the way, general manager for our Atlanta Braves, joined our morning show today and talked about a variety of things, including the possibility of signing Craig Kimbrell. Also, the lack of offseason moves, which people are still talking about. Again, Bryce Harper's not signed, right? I don't know if people have realized this, all the hype and conversation around him, Mike. He's still not a guy on anybody's team right now.
No, I mean, we did add potentially some big-time home run power at third base with Josh Donaldson, the former Blue Jay, if he can stay healthy. And you're giving him $23 million, but I was going round and round. You and I have been talking about some moves the Braves could be making with a bunch of listeners on Twitter today because I said, look, just go for it. Go get Bryce Harper. First off, the Phillies are the only ones you seem to have any link right now, currently, with traction about Bryce Harper. Keep him out of your division. Keep him on your team. You know, no holes in your lineup. Guys keep saying, we've got to get the bullpen. I know you got to get the bullpen, but all the bigger name guys you would plug in for bullpen help or starting pitching have already been signed. So I get the impression from Alex Anthopoulos, you'll hear the man's own words, they're going to try to find somebody like an Anibal Sanchez type. Remember, he signed with the Nationals, a two-year deal. But, Carl, you need a guy that grabs some innings, right, as a starter. Maybe you want to bring Kimbrell back and kick the tires. Everyone gets so nostalgic for all these old Braves. But were you impressed by how average he looked down the stretch? I mean, he's got a World Series ring with the Red Sox.
Yeah, he does.
But he was getting teed off in the fall.
Well, I just think when he left here, Mike, in his prime, at his height, I'm not saying he's not a great closer still, but, you know, there was a fear factor. And I don't know if it's still there with Kimbrell. That's part of it where you just felt like he was going to come in. It was one, two, three, and we were going to get out of there. Either way, Alex Anthopoulos talking about Dansby as well. So you'll hear all of that coming up in less than 20 minutes. Now, I just tweeted this out, and it's going to get us into the dog report because there are various sources out there that say Kirby Smart has reportedly offered the offensive coordinator's position, all right, to a guy named Eddie Grant. You're going, who's Eddie Grant?
Who's Eddie Grant?
He is the Kentucky Wildcat offensive coordinator currently. He's been in college football for over 30 years. He just wrapped up his third season as Kentucky's head coach of offense, offensive coordinator, and running backs coach. So, you know, you had Benny Snell, who we talked a lot about and talked to, who had a great year there, was, you know, three 1,000-yard rushing seasons. And obviously, Kentucky, this is one of those years where people are going to talk about it for years. Now, maybe hopefully they can build on it. But, Mike, just when we thought maybe he would stay in-house and it kind of made sense, we get the word that Kirby allegedly, and again, this has not been confirmed by Georgia, but that the job's been offered to a guy at Kentucky named Eddie Grant.
Eddie, by the way, an assistant with Jimbo Fisher at Florida State back in the day. But yeah, I got to be honest with you. That's kind of a head scratcher for me just because, I mean, obviously they want to run the football at Georgia. I just thought, you know, James Coley having familiarity with the offense, he's already up there in the booth working with Coach Chaney. I know there were some dog fans who were kind of lukewarm to the idea of James Coley getting the keys to the offense, but this kind of surprises me. 30 years, as you said, in the game. But, just because Kentucky, you automatically think Snell in the run game. First things first. Mm-hmm. As, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, that would be your first reaction.
Well, you know, it's funny. And real quick, I had a guy. This was maybe right after Georgia lost, and we were talking about, you know, the Fields aspect and how they didn't use him. And, you know, what you have to understand is we don't know what Justin Fields is going to be, and we'll get a chance to see here fairly quickly at Ohio State. But the thing at Georgia, whether it was Fields or Fromm, they were never going to ask these guys to throw the ball 40 times a game. That's not how Georgia's built. And so to say, oh, well, he was going to be dynamic or spectacular, and maybe he will be, but – it's a run-first offense. It is simply because of the backs that you've had. It is running back you. So, Mike, when you see the numbers that Fromm has put out there, he's been efficient, and it's still a run-first offense. So this doesn't surprise me from that standpoint. What surprises me is that we thought we had a guy in the building.
Well, he did work with Devontae Freeman, by the way, before. Remember, Mark Stoops got the job at Kentucky. He took a number of guys from the Florida State staff. And I can ask with you, when you said Eddie Grant, I'm like, who? I really am going, who? But Eddie Grant is a guy at least linked. There's two reports now out there, one from CBS Sports, one's 24/7, saying that that's the guy that Kirby's offering the job to.
All right, it is Dukes and Bell. That gets us into our dog report.
At Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man, you want the ultimate man cave? You want home security, home monitoring at a fraction of the cost? How about a generator, Carl? Run all your stuff, home or business. Call them up today, 770-901-2500.
All right, what else is going on in and around college football? The story today, outside of some guys declaring, is Kyler Murray leaning towards the NFL draft. So Kyler Murray is the current Heisman Trophy winner, went to Oklahoma. Of course, where is he going to end up in this NFL draft? I don't know. We talked to Bruce Feldman earlier. He said, listen, I don't think he's the first overall pick, but maybe he ends up being a top 15 pick. Mike, we said it. He is set to make $4.6 million in this deal to play baseball. He was already drafted by the A's. He'd have to give that money back, by the way, if you're wondering. But if you're a top 10 pick, and you're a quarterback, you're going to make that and a lot more.
Yeah, he's a bonus baby, as they say, ninth overall pick for Oakland, and a guy that did everything you'd want a quarterback to do for Oklahoma. He only has one full year as a starter, as Bruce Feldman brought up, but a guy that certainly has the cannon for an arm, can make all the throws. He's got athleticism. Is he a little too small, though? That's another thing that Bruce brought up. Mm. We're getting past the height thing, saying that's not an issue, but is he too slight? The fact that can he take some of the hits?
The A's position players are scheduled to report to the team's training facility February 15th. However, the NFL Combine is 11 days later in Indy. So does he not report and simply go to the Combine? I mean, this is going to be interesting to follow if, in fact, he's truly leaning towards the NFL. And by the way, these stories just don't come out of the blue.
Well, I mean, I asked our buddy Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports about it in The Athletic. Would he go in there and dazzle some general managers in those sit-downs? Everybody gets 15 minutes, right, in the interviews? Mm. And you sit there and you convince him that, yes, I am committed to football and yada, yada. Look, if he goes out there and throws some crazy measurables in the combine as far as arm strength, or he does his pro day at Oklahoma, look, you've seen what this kid can do. Now, you know, Alabama game aside, you know, I'm very interested to see where he would fall. Would he be a top 15 pick, top 30? Would you not want to take a flyer? Because, well, you have to be convinced, to your point, he's not going to play baseball.
Yeah, that's the thing, the commitment level. If you're going to commit to football, though, and you're giving up $4.6 million, I think you're pretty committed.
Well, by the way, you laid it out. If you're a starting quarterback and you can make that, you know, get that first deal, get that second contract, you got endorsements, you're going to make a hell of a lot more money than being a shortstop or second baseman for the Oakland A's in the smallest market in the bigs.
Well, you go, Mike, from making really good money, don't get me wrong. And I know people say, well, the longevity's in baseball. You hope. But you also, at that position, and we're talking about quarterback, Mike, you could be an average quarterback in the NFL, make $150,000, $1 million, right. $150 million.
You laid out guys' names like Matt Cassel and Leinart and all these other guys who basically were able to grind it out. Look at all the bums that are starting over Colin Kaepernick right now that are making big money around the league. So it is interesting. All right, real quick, I asked you earlier for guys that miss it. What do? You're Kyler Murray. Baseball, guaranteed money. Football, signing bonus guaranteed. What are you doing?
Yeah, and that's the other part of it that I have reluctantly not brought up, because that's true. Think about this now.
No, the rookie deal is fully guaranteed. I'm saying when you get to this, if you make it in your NFL career, you're going to get a signing bonus, but that's the only money that's guaranteed. Whereas Major League Baseball, you can get hit by a truck and get paid $100 million. You can be Bobby Bonilla.
That's right.
Get a nice check for $1 million and rest your natural born life.
Yeah, that's the difficult decision. But I think you go with your heart. And I would tell you, I would go NFL if I was Kyler Murray. I think his stock is high. I don't think this is a great quarterback draft. Okay. So let's just say Haskins goes first. He may be the second quarterback selected in this draft. That ain't bad. So I just believe if he's truly about going to the NFL, he needs to stay with that. That's where I'd go. I know a lot of guys are going, Dukes, you're crazy. Major League Baseball. Okay. What would you do? Hey, In other news, we've been talking about Dabo Swinney. If you missed it, he gets the Coach of the Year, guys. He takes home the hardware. It's the Paul Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award, ironically. He beats Alabama and takes home the Bear Bryant Award. But he's done it before, guys, when they won a national championship a couple of years ago. So it's his third time. Dabo has won the award. All right, Mike. So in the ranking of the top coaches in college football now, What is it?
Okay.
Give it to me.
Well, now, right, currently right now, it is still Nick Saban based on the championships. And then Dabo is at number two.
Yes.
Because, you know, unlike, as far as we know, and everybody to a man that we've met that's played for Clemson and played in the NFL, whether it's a Falcon, Carl, or somebody's on another team, says Dabo walks the walk, he talks the talk. It's not, he's not doing the God thing and it's fake like some coaches, okay? He's not doing the personal responsibility thing and it's a bunch of crap like, oh, I don't know, Urban Meyer. So, yes, that's personal interest on my part. Yes, I would have Dabo at number two. How could you not?
No, you got to.
And then Urban and Jimbo and everybody else who's got some championships.
All right, so, yeah, Urban's out. I'd go Jimbo next because he's currently still coaching now and, in the guy that has won championships. But who's the other guys? Who's the top five of coaches right now?
I mean, Dabo's got to be. Yeah, Dabo's there. I mean, we just talked about it with Bruce Feldman. What's going on in the ACC? There's nobody right now.
Nobody else.
Right? Fuente was going to be the big thing. Don't you feel? I know they had injuries and other issues, but Virginia Tech's kind of spinning their wheels right now. Miami, same thing. Florida State, waiting to see them step it up.
Who's your top five coaches? There's been a lot of turnover, obviously, at some of these programs that have had traditional coaches that have been around. Who are the top five best coaches right now in the NCAA?
Well, you got to go with Oklahoma. You got to go with
Lincoln Riley
right now.
Okay.
I mean, you can argue he didn't build it. He inherited it. But he's certainly a guy who's now coached two semifinal games.
And then you go out west to Washington, right?
And you go, yeah. Peterson? And Peterson, boy, he did some screwy stuff in that game against Ohio State. And it almost worked out. They put the pressure on the Buckeyes late in the game. But, yes, he's considered one of those elite. And then everyone else, it's kind of up for grabs out there. I think a lot of people think Mario Cristobal is putting together something at Oregon through a great recruiting class. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, by the way, Harbaugh, did I read that he's stealing Alabama's assistant OC? That just went down. So I'll get the name for you in a second. But there's a new addition to the Michigan staff, and he's raiding the Alabama staff. Further proof to what Herb Street was talking about, along with Fowler, on the national championship broadcast, that Dabo's been able to keep guys in Death Valley, whereas Alabama has got to turn guys over almost on a yearly basis, right? Josh Gattis, by the way, going to the Big House.
That's where he's headed. By the way, if you want to see a really cool video, it's probably about 4 minutes long. I just tweeted it out. It came from Fox Sports because they were obviously the folks who had the video and recorded this. But this is Dabo accepting the Paul Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award. This was Wednesday night. And he tells a story about Woody McCorvey. Now, some of you know who he is. Some of you don't know who he is. But if you want to see a really inspiring, cool piece that's about 4 minutes long, go check out my Twitter, put him up, see Dukes. And by the way, it probably is going to make you want to root for Dabo Swinney because he talks about how people influence your life and what guy got him into coaching and how it's changed his life. It's a really cool piece. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It's our Dog Report brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical Man, 770-901-2500. Get the big screen TV, the man cave for the big game, and get a generator, too.
All right, as we've been talking about this, and I just want to bring it back to the Dogs real quick. Eddie Grand, assistant head coach of offense and running backs at Kentucky, okay? The report is that he allegedly, at least from what we're hearing, various reports, is the guy that the Dogs are chasing, meaning Kirby Smart. So I'm seeing reports now out of Kentucky, Mike, as this thing is starting to take, get some life, that he is in the mix, and not only in the mix, he's probably the front runner for this job.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to his time at Florida State, he was a running backs coach. He also worked special teams. He, as I said, he went up to Kentucky when Mark Stoops got the job. Obviously, that's the culmination of a lot of work to get Kentucky where they were this year and then win the bowl game and to beat Penn State doing it. I'm really at a loss for words because it's a little uncompelling. And does this mean that James Coley, who was talking to Jimbo Fisher, goes to Texas A&M? Or does he stay with Georgia if this, in fact, is true? Because Coley, that was the rumor. That's part of the reason why they gave Coley you give Coley the bump to working with quarterbacks in addition to being the co-OC behind Chaney because he's such a good recruiter to keep him. That's why I think a lot of people just penciled in Coley to then take the job when Chaney goes up to Knoxville, right?
Yeah. And he's still on the staff. He's still going to be there doing exactly what you wanted him to do. Eddie Grand, by the way, this is out of Kentucky, offered the offensive coordinator's job by Georgia's Kirby Smart in the last 24 hours. Smart offered Grand total control of the offense and a salary of at least $1.1 million. That would be a pay raise of about $160,000 for Grand, which is where he's at Kentucky.
And in case you're worried that he's just simply 3 yards in a cloud of dust, when he was the OC at the University of Cincinnati, they racked up 6,100 yards that year, and they averaged over 300 yards per game, according to Dogs 247.
Okay. Interesting stuff. And maybe this goes back to – you know, Kirby having a history with Grant, at least coaching against him and seeing what he does offensively and liking it. It's very similar to what Dan Quinn did said about Kyle Shanahan. Never worked with him, but coached against him and said, this guy knows what he's doing. He stresses your defenses. Maybe Kirby realizes that. Now, the Kentucky-Georgia game is not an indicator. You can't look at that game and go, oh, my God, what are we doing? Georgia outmanned him that day. But the history of what he's done, to Mike's point, may be the reason why that he's been offered the job.
He's again, according to, and I'm reading this, by the way, thanks for pulling this up, Squid. Apparently, you had a great job on the recruiting trail when he was at FSU as well as Kentucky. So, I mean, he's a lifer in the business. He's got a lot of experience. Not exactly. I mean, I would say to Georgia fans before we got this name an hour ago, it's not exactly a household name. Mm-mm. But it is apparently who Georgia's looking at.
All right, man. What do you guys think about that? That is news that is breaking here, at least a developing story that we're watching here on Dukes and Bell. Hey, coming up, Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager. We've had him on various chances and opportunities, throughout the offseason. And he's been very forthcoming with what the Braves are trying to do. You'll hear where we currently are coming up. But first, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Victory! Victory!
I always think of Johnny Drama on Entourage. Victory!
That's the code word, guys. 72881. Text it right now for your chance to win a grand. That's $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest.
Guys, if you're new to the station, we do it every day. It starts in the morning show at Frickin' Hugh. We wrap it up by 7 o'clock. We got a few more chances. But victory, you text that. As Carl said, 72881. And good luck. Win the money.
Alex Anthopoulos next. Hey, Mike, before we hear from Alex Anthopoulos, just real quick and kind of rehashing what we were talking about, Kentucky assistant head coach of offense and running backs coach Eddie Grand, from various reports, has been offered the Georgia offensive coordinator's job. And you said guys are running with this and going, Eddie, who?
Yeah, we had some guys actually hitting us up with, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue. Not Eddie Grant, although great song, by the way. It's Eddie Grant. No T on the end, that's Grant. Like a grand mal seizure. Okay, bad example. But yeah, Eddie Grant, G-R-A-N, he's a lifer, man. He's like Cheney. He's been everywhere, had success everywhere, and, you know, he was on Florida State, helped them get things turned around, had a nice run at Cincinnati, and he's done some really great things, obviously, with Kentucky. Not exactly the household name that some guys were looking for. There's a lot of Georgia fans hitting us up saying they have no interest whatsoever in James Coley calling the plays.
Okay.
All right. It's going to be Eddie Grant. It's conservative. It's what Kirby, you and I were just talking off the air. Look, Kirby wants to run the ball. You know, let's be real here. That's what he wants to do. So this guy is not just a guy that's going to go and run the ball exclusively. He's had high-powered offenses he's been a part of that throw the ball too. But it does go back to, you know, what you saw in Kentucky. That's the first thing in the mind of Georgia fans.
More about this story coming up. We got our Falcon Report at 5 o'clock, guys. What did Calvin Ridley have to say about our coach, Dan Quinn? Stick around for that. But right now, Alex Anthopoulos stopped by our morning show with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. First thing they asked our general manager of the Braves was, when are the Braves scheduled to move to Sarasota?
Hey, our last spring training game in Florida, so we're going to have two games up north here, you know, before, like we did last year, we played the Yankees for two, we're going to play the Reds for two at the end of spring. But our last Florida spring training will be there. So it's just south of Sarasota, it's Northport, so it's close to Port Charlotte, close to Sarasota. I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen a lot of photos and designs, and it'll most likely be the best spring training ballpark in Florida by far. I know there's been a ton of work. This all started well before I got here, but there's been unbelievable work done on it. Chip Moore in our office has really been the lead guy on the project overall. He spent a ton of time on it. He's been going back and forth from Atlanta to Florida a ton, but it is fantastic. We have an academy that we're going to house the young players. The ballpark's going to be beautiful. The offices are going to be beautiful. I think fans are going to be blown away. And we're excited, at least our players and everybody. Before we leave Florida, we're gonna head down there and play one last game on the Sunday. And that'll be a nice big event and so on, and I think it'll be great for everybody to see.
All right, that's cool. Question number one. Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves. You and I have been talking about this cold stove league. I mean, nothing
is
moving.
Yeah, what's going on, Alex? Ain't nobody been signed yet. What's up? What's up with that?
The tough part about baseball relative to other sports is the off season can just go as long as you want it to. So you saw it last year and even previous years. There's no deadlines to sign these players. So, and there was some big contracts signed late in the off season last year into spring training. And the Phillies signed Jake Arrieta to $25 million a year contract in the middle of March. And they're still, you know, I'm in my office right now, and I have a board up of all the free agents, and I have a certain color for all the guys that signed and a certain color for all the guys that haven't signed. And there's a lot of guys that haven't signed across the board of every position. And there will, obviously, I do expect the month of January to start to move a little bit. And obviously, Hugh's been through, you know, as a player, you realize it too. I mean, it's, you know, and when you start getting close to camp opening right around Valentine's Day, your family's asking you, your friends are asking you what team you're going to be with. I mean, you start getting the itch. You don't want to show up late. So I do think as we get into mid to late January here, things will start to move. But I will not be surprised to see some big contracts in February and an outside chance that you still see some into March.
You know, I have a question. Is with pitching being at a premium in baseball like it is, why are some big names still out there like Dallas Keuchel and guys like that? Why are they not signed yet?
Yeah, and, you know, it's hard. I mean, most times, and I get just based off of last year, I mean, all these guys would sign. I mean, we have a good idea of what it would take to sign these guys. I think ultimately, and again, you know, from a player's perspective, guys feel strongly about what they're worth and what they should get. Clubs have their own evaluations, and they're comfortable at a certain, you know, certain amount of years, certain amount of money. And, you know, I guess someone's got to blink, right, at some point, and someone's got to move forward. And the other thing, too, is because there's so much volume out there, there's still some alternatives and some options. And there's also some guys that are still out there in trade. So that ends up slowing things up as well. So anytime you're looking at a free agent and you have to pay X amount of money, but then you might be able to go another direction and make a trade for somebody, that's where the more options you have, the slower things go, and you can get a little bit paralyzed. So those guys will all sign. They're all going to play baseball in 2019. It just might go a little bit slowly.
And we're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves. Let me throw a couple other players at you here. We're hearing that the market for Craig Kimbrel is coming down from his asking price, and that the market for JT Realmuto might be opening up again for the Marlins, and they may be coming down off of what they were asking. Does that put the Braves back in play for either of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm allowed to talk about free agents to an extent. I can't talk about players on other teams, but I can talk in general stance, and you can basically get a sense of where I'm going with it. I'd say any players that are available in trade, I feel like we have our ear to the ground. We have a good idea of who's available and what it's going to take for us to go get that player. So I feel confident in saying that any player that has been traded or any player that's available in trade, we've certainly checked in. We've most likely had discussions, and we have a sense of what that is. And obviously, you know, guys that haven't been traded yet, people are still negotiating and still talking, but we're still active on the trade front. In terms of free agents, guys like Craig and so on, I guess one of the best closers of all time, longtime Brave. I can't tell you how well-regarded and well-respected he is in this organization. As one of the best closers and relievers of all time and someone that's performed at a high level, you know, it's someone that should do well in free agency. So normally big contracts, significant dollars, that takes a little bit of time. But we would, I don't want to speak to Craig specifically, but if we have a chance to add a elite-level starter, elite-level bullpen guy at a contract we think makes sense and works for us with the rest of our team, we're going to do it. So as long as these guys are still out there and they're not signed, that still gives us a chance is probably the best way I could put it.
Alex, last season was so exciting, and, you know, for the Braves to do everything that they did, I tell you, it made me a huge fan. You being a GM, when you saw that coming here not knowing what this team was going to be, and you saw what they were able to do in such a short period of time, in your mind, because I know every GM has a timetable in their mind when this team can turn the corner, did it move your time? I don't need to know the exact date and what you thought it was going to be, but did it move your timetable up as far as how soon this team would be able to contend?
Yeah, I think it had to. I mean, when I got here, it's a team coming off multiple 90-loss years, hadn't made the playoffs in a while, hadn't been .500 in a while. But to a man, everyone said, wow, we got a lot of good young talent here. You just don't know with young kids and young talent, when are they going to come forward? When are they going to take the next step and become established guys and guys that have success? So I knew there was a chance going into the season, but you don't want to bank on, you know, there was a lot of if this happens, if that happens, if this happens, we can have a really good team. So we didn't do anything last offseason to push all our chips in that way. We made the trade with Matt Kemp. We moved some dollars around, gave other guys opportunities. But with the success that we had, and it was an exciting, young, dynamic team, they finally arrived. We knew it was going to happen at some point. We didn't know when, and it's great. And obviously, we made some moves at the trade deadline. We didn't get as far as we wanted to in the playoffs. And we've done some things this offseason. We're going to keep doing some things. So it did move things up a bit in a good way. And also it helped, you know, the fans came out, attendance was up, TV ratings were up. I mean, the momentum, look, you're talking about you caught the bug too. That's a good thing for the organization, for the brand, and it gives me more to work with in the offseason, whether it's spending money on players, making trades, and so on.
Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos. Alex, can you update the fans, Braves fans, where we stand on the health of a couple of guys, Dansby Swanson, Mike Soroka, anybody else that you're looking at right now?
Yeah, so Dansby Swanson had the issue with his wrist. He is back feeling great. He's at 85% strength, I think, is the last report that I got. I'm going to swing a bat, I believe, 3 days a week going forward. So he's in a good spot. He's on track to be ready for spring. And, you know, the fact that he's now been able to try swing with the bat and the strength is getting close to 100%, he's moving in the right direction. And, you know, the amazing part about what happened was is, you know, he had a piece of, I guess you'd say, cartilage or so on in his wrist, and he pretty much played with it 5 months out of the year. And, you know, he went from 6 home runs to 14 home runs, played great deep defense. And in my mind, in our minds, we're thinking, wow, you know, he just kind of battled through it and fought through it. Now with complete health, how much more upside is there for his bat? I don't want to put too much on him, but we're excited about that. And Mike Soroka was dying to be back here in September, called us and told us repeatedly he was ready to go, wanted to be able to pitch in the playoffs. We had him pitch down in Florida just to make sure he could get off a mound and feel good going into the offseason. Velocity was good. Health was strong. So he will be full go in spring training, and he'll have a chance to come in and compete for a spot in the rotation.
Hey, Alex, I just want to let you know, man, if you know anybody in AL looking for a DH, I think I can go ahead and make that happen. You know, I've been working on. I think I can hit a couple. I think I can do that. So if you know anybody, put my name out there for me, man.
I will. I'm going to throw you up on the board.
All right, then. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Hey, Alex, a big event coming up on Saturday the 19th, Chop Fest at SunTrust Park. Always, Chop Fest is always a lot of fun. It's good. A week from Saturday on the 19th. It should be, hopefully the weather's great, because it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's the first time we did it as an organization was last year. I just joined the organization. It's free. So Saturday the 19th, fans come out. It's all day. You get access to players, photo ops, autographs, clinics on the field. You get to do Q&A with GM. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do for families and so on, and it's a great way to get close to players. And the best part is that it's free.
Yeah, and parking free,
and
too.
It's fun.
Yeah, parking's
free.
Yeah,
and they all come out, and all the guys come, pretty much. So it's a really, really great event, and I think it's just going to continue to grow.
At Braves.com/ChopFest. Alex, you're always welcome. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
All right, guys. Glad to be on.
There he is, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager for our Atlanta Braves. I'm sorry, I was looking up something there. Hey, that's our morning show. Make sure you check them out, guys. Coming up, we've got, not in case you missed it, but we have my man Bo Morgan with Yeah Man, No Man.
Handcrafted Mike. Questions, brother. He's been working on it, buddy boy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, you heard Alex, guys. If you missed the beginning of the interview, he said he's got a big list, Carl, and there's some names that are available. Obviously, some names have been taken, but he says there's still a lot of guys out there. It's just not the way the Hot Stove League worked in the old days. Now we'll be getting there like a week before pitchers and catchers report. Some of these guys will be signing contracts.
Yeah, it seems like it's late, but this is the new MLB. Yeah Man, No Man next.
I'm okay. Yeah!
And the latest with the dogs is part of our big story. It's all next hour. But right now, Bo, it's Yeah Man, No Man. What you got?
Where you guys want to start? You want to start college football? You want to start billboards?
Wherever you
want. Hey, man, spin the wheel, man. You don't have any dealer's choice.
Well, let's start with billboards. So, one of my favorite Tex-Mex places, Taco Bell, is putting up a new billboard. But this billboard is not like others.
Okay.
This billboard dispenses unlimited nacho cheese.
What?
Now, it's going up on the 19th of this month. It's going to be in downtown Toronto, and it's going to dispense free and limited nacho cheese.
I'm looking at this right now. It's wild.
The catch is they won't have anything for you to put your nacho cheese on, so you got to bring your own nacho chips.
Right.
But unlimited cheese. So, Yeah Man, No Man, unlimited nacho cheese.
Okay, first of all, in this day and age of
bacteria. How are they keeping this cheese fresh?
Oh, I'm sure they'll have some system. The cheesiest billboard will stand just right next door to the chain's flagship Queen West Street location. So
yeah.
Technically, Squid, you could bring your chips right there from Taco Bell, stand under the billboard, and go get yourself some cheese.
See, I don't know about that. I mean, it sounds intriguing, but I don't know about just showing up and putting my nachos under some cheese machine that's out in the open.
Well, you're a young college kid. You'll get your cheese on, man. Presumably, it'll be safe as can be. It's Canada. You know, they take care of stuff like that up there.
I'll tell you what I would do, Carl. I'd treat it like an SEC game in the fall. I'd bring my RV, hook up my DirecTV,
right.
Drink some beer, invite all my friends, and we just keep walking. All the cheese dip you want right there.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
Unlimited cheese dip from a billboard.
I mean, but think about this. You could stop at a pretzel place. I mean, you can put cheese on a lot of stuff there, Carl. I mean, you got a Philly cheese, bring the steak and put the cheese on it. I'm just saying.
Cheese is almost, not quite, almost like bacon.
It's, you know, you're right. It's a
almost.
Close. It's a close second.
Yeah.
So, yes, man, I'm all about it. I'd be there.
No, man. I'm not doing it. I'm not bringing my nachos. Let's just imagine this thing's running for 6 weeks straight. And then all of a sudden.
No, I'm sure there's a button you press. I don't think it's just a fountain of cheese cascading all over Toronto.
That's how he's describing it. He's saying there's going to be unlimited cheese.
Well, it does dispense unlimited nacho cheese.
All right. No, man. No, man. No, man, for me.
Hold on. Fans are encouraged to bring any snack they like for the ultimate nacho cheese upgrade. Doesn't say how it dispenses. No.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm like with Squid Billy. I'm just trying to figure out where does the cheese come out? Is there a button you
there
press?
There is not a guy in the back with the pot.
Will
in
it be
in a
5 seconds of this stuff comes out? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like the Carvel ice cream machine they have at the Falcons
soft serve.
Game.
Soft serve.
Yeah, where you just pull the little lever and it just
and you know what's going to happen too?
Out.
It's going to get stuck. That's what's going to get
right.
stuck.
Well, I mean, the temperatures do get below freezing up in Toronto. You're right, Carl.
I'm talking about the cheese and the machine. It's disgusting. All right, go ahead, Bo. No man for me.
Well, you're being a stick in the mud, Carl.
Yeah, or stick in the cheese.
Yeah, I like the way Mike phrases that.
Yeah, all right, whatever. I'm sure half of our listeners are saying the same thing I am.
Oh,
disgusting.
Stop.
You know, you germaphobe people disgust me. All right. So everybody knows, everybody likes the phrase beer o'clock, or it's 5
right.
o'clock somewhere.
Beer 30, right on.
Yeah, well, a new study has figured out that the actual beer o'clock time is 6:31 p.m. in your local place. So that is when people order the most amount of beer is at 6:31 p.m.
Let's remember that tomorrow while we're at Twin Peaks, Mike.
Guys get off of work. I mean, obviously, there's the 4:20 reference for a whole other type of thing. But 6:31 will be the – so that's the time when most people are getting their suds on. Interesting.
So, yeah, man, no, man, that should be the official beer o'clock time, kind of like 4:20 is for other things.
No, no. God, no. I'm a day drinker. I get much earlier starts, Carl, when I'm on vacation.
Yeah, I have to say, by that time, I'm probably wasted.
Yeah, that's amateur hour, 6:30. I feel sorry for you working stiffs just getting off the clock at 5 there.
Yeah, I mean, when we get out of here. Well, never mind about us. What's the question?
Yeah, man, no, man, that should be the official time.
No, negative. Noon should be the time.
Well, you roll out of the rock. What are you talking about? Depends on what day it is.
All righty then. Well, you know, that's almost half. That's over almost the end of happy hour for most places. So, from one thing to another, I'm sure Carl won't like this after his disgust of the unlimited nacho cheese. So, a guy in England somewhere. Put a bee brick into his house, into his brick of his house, and he came out to it a couple months later and realized that there was insects living in it. Now, a bee brick is for insects. It's actually for a solitary bee, and he started tweeting about it, and the...
A bee brick?
A bee brick. A bee brick is basically just a little brick that fits into where the bricks go in your house.
Okay.
It's got little holes in it. Insects go in and live in it. It's for solitary bees.
Okay.
So he came back 6 months later, and it was after it was fitted into his house, and there's all kinds of insects, including solitary bees, and a thread starts on Twitter. One person went on to say that every house ever built should have a bee brick so insects can have a place to live. I am not on board with this, but I ask you guys.
I'm reading this article. I don't understand why you even want this. Unless it's some kind of insect that'll eat the other insects, and that's okay. And obviously you don't have any wood, Carl. There's cement or there's other brick behind it, so it's not going to have the critters in your house. I don't know. Is this a British thing? I'm missing the boat on this.
I'm not understanding either, but what are we getting to?
Well, the fact was it's environmentally conscious, and it helps
out
screw
the
that. Environment.
Oh, bologna. Who cares?
Yes, you should love your environment, Michael.
I'm going to be dead in 20 years. What do I care what happens afterwards, Carl?
It's why you have the gas guzzler.
Don't have any kids? How do I care about it?
Yeah.
No. So no on the B-break. Negative, Carl. Your thoughts?
No, listen. I don't get the whole premise behind it. I mean, I'm not
You have sure. a wasp corner.
Yeah, I don't get it. So, no, I'm going to say no, too. Mike and I are agreeing on
a lot
of stuff.
Didn't you have, like, a crazy insect situation on the porch?
Yes, we had... What was it? What are the ones that burrow into the wood? What are those?
Termites?
Dirt dauber?
Termites.
By the way, can we change your nickname to
what
Dirt Dauber?
What is the bee that digs the hole into the wood? Well, I'm not... The name escapes me. Whatever it was, Mike... That's the issue we had. Okay,
I wouldn't want one of those in there either.
Hold on,
or a brick for them either.
You people, our listeners, you people know what I'm talking about.
That's why I don't own a home.
Carpenter bee. Thank you, Will Guerra. Yay.
Thank you, Will.
Do they have little tiny aprons? Do they have like little tiny little hammers?
We had a carpenter bee issue, and
they got a tool belt, Mikey.
Nice.
Yeah, you say that till they carve your wood out.
No interest whatsoever.
Did they have to go buy their own tools for their digging, or
okay. They go to a tiny little Home Depot?
Carpenter bee. Yeah. So that's the issue we had. The answer to your question, sir, and yeah, man, no man, right now is no man. Environmental.
By the way, as a new homeowner, I would never put a bee break
right
in
on.
My home.
You should not. You should not.
Stupid British.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Did you check for critters, by the way, in your new home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did the termite inspection, all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. It passed.
All right.
So hopefully it continues that way, or they paid off the inspector.
Right on.
All right. So we all know what happened to Cody Parkey on Sunday. His
heartbreak.
His kick was
deflected.
Tipped,
deflected, yes.
And it went in. Well, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he apparently got hit up hardcore on Venmo, as long as other social media, and people, Eagles fans, were so happy with his miss, they were Venmoing him money to buy a beer. And so other places giving him, you know, here's beer money, whatever. Yeah. This calls
Eagles fans, Carl.
Yeah, figures.
This calls a stir of multiple people creating fake Cody Parkey accounts to hopefully they could receive money. So at some point, I know sometimes Mike is a little technologically challenged, and Carl, you probably are a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, no man using Venmo to pay people.
Believe it or not, yeah, man. I was not a fan of all this stuff until a couple of years ago. PayPal, Venmo, it all works. I mean, I had a friend of mine tell me, you know, that he was going to send me some money. He owed me some money, and he said, I'm going to send you some money. And I'm thinking, all right, you're going to cut the check or whatever. He's like, no, you got Venmo. Right. That's how I got involved. I was like, what are you talking about? A couple of years ago, I may not have been, but now experiencing it, it's the best. It's the easiest thing.
I'll check it on because PayPal. By the way, I still need the dues for the fantasy league. Guy hit us up on the text. He says those bees in your house, Carl, they go to the Hive Depot. Nice job, Ike Taylor on the tweet.
Carpenter bees, man. Chris, thank you guys too. Everybody's hitting me up now. Carpenter bees, yes, they're terrible, man, and so mean, by the way.
Really.
Yeah.
They come from South. Are they killer bees?
No idea.
Do they have a bloodlust?
Hey, when we come back, we're going to tell you about a guy that's a friend of the show. He's got a new song out, and we're serious. We're going to let you hear a little bit of it. Also, the Falcon Report's on the way. The latest with what Dan Quinn's done with his staff. The strong arm story of the day. What have the dogs done? Stay right there.